Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather on this Sunday, this Pentecost Sunday, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just have a couple of announcements to share with you this morning. Just want to remind everyone of the church picnic that will be coming up on June the 18th from 12 to 5 at Borough Home Park. So please mark that down on your calendars. Plan to be there. It plans to be a time of fun. You can bring your lawn chairs, bring a lunch, but it will be an opportunity for fellowship and fun. That will be on June the 18th from 12 to 5. We're also planning in the planning stages of Vacation Bible School that will take place on July the 19th, as we've been announcing. If you want to volunteer in that in some way, or if you know some children who you might want to participate in that, you can please see myself, and we'll get you squared away on how you can be involved in Vacation Bible School. Again, that's going to be from July the 19th through July the 21st. There are other things happening that will be happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church as we get as the summer progresses. Please make sure that you read your bulletin, as well as go to our web page to stay abreast of what is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our epistle reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, which can be found on page 983 of your pew Bible. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, which can be found on page 948 of your pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven, like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were, dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one had heard them speaking in his own language. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? But others mocking said, They are filled with new wine. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, friends, welcome to Pentecost. It's Pentecost Sunday. It's the Sunday when we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the community of Jesus' followers, empowering all of us to be the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world. Pentecost is closely associated with the ascension of the Lord. Earlier in the book of Acts, the crucified, resurrected Lord ascends into heaven, where he goes there to be at the right hand of the Father. And there he assumes all power and authority and dominion. In other words, he ascends into heaven in order to rule over the whole world, to rule over the whole cosmos. But he doesn't rule alone. You and I are the people through whom the Lord will exercise his rule and his dominion of the world. And so before he goes, before he ascends to power, to be at the right hand of the Father, he tells his followers to wait in Jerusalem until they receive his power, the power from on high, the power of heaven itself. Of course, Pentecost is the day when that power comes with great fanfare. We heard from Brandon's readings the wind, the fire, the multiplicity of languages. It is a glorious disruption of the ordinary that befalls upon the Lord's followers. And it's easy perhaps for us to become distracted by all of that, by the tongues of fire, by the wind. But the important thing to remember is that Pentecost is about power. As biblical scholar Walter Brueggemann notes, Pentecost is about the surge of God's dangerous, restless, disrupting power, a power that shatters our complacency and overrides our despair. And so Pentecost is about power. Much of the power of the world, of course, is about shutting things down. It's about shutting people up and doing whatever needs to be done to keep our carefully constructed arrangements in place. But the Holy Spirit is a different kind of power. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. It is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the power of heaven itself. And that is what is poured out on the disciples of Christ on that first Pentecost, the power of heaven itself, the power from on high. I know, of course, that when we think of heaven, we tend to think of the end game of our faith. Heaven is the place we all hope to go when our earthly sojourn has ended. But Pentecost is not so much about our going to heaven. Pentecost is about the power of heaven coming to us. It's about the power of heaven colliding with the world. It's about the power of heaven enabling us to implement the prayer that we prayed a few minutes ago. When we prayed that God's will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. And so Pentecost is about the beginning of that. It's about the power enabling all of us, enabling you and me to make that a possibility in our own lives, to make that a possibility in the world, to make it a possibility for things to be done in our midst, just as they are in heaven. We've been studying the book of Acts in our Wednesday night Bible study, and that's what the book of Acts is all about. It's about the dangerous, restless power of God that the world, despite its efforts, is unable to shut down. The power of God surging in the midst of the world, and the authorities of the world, the powers of the world, are trying to shut it down, but they're unable to shut it down. They beat the Lord's disciples. They imprison them. They do all kinds of things to thwart the power of God, the dangerous, surging, disrupting power of God. But they are unable to shut it down. But we're reminded this morning that the power from on high, the power from heaven, is not like the power of the world. It's not about clout. It's not about exercising the kind of dominion and power that the world talks about, but the power from on high, the power from heaven, is a power that looks a lot like Jesus himself. It's a power that looks like the crucified, resurrected Lord. It's the power that enables the followers of Christ to be able to love in a world that is filled with hatred. It is the power that enables them to be able to forgive in a world that is bent on vengeance. It's a power that enables them to heal in a world beset with all kinds of social ills. It's the power that enables them to live together in ways that defy the structures of the world around them. And at every juncture, the Holy Spirit is the power of God that empowers the church to bring the self-giving rule of Christ to bear in the world. But what the Holy Spirit empowers them to do first and foremost, especially on that first Pentecost, is that it empowers the people of God, the community of God's people, it empowers them to speak. Have you ever been afraid to speak up, to make your voice heard? Maybe you are afraid to speak because you are young and you feel that no one will believe you or take you very seriously. Maybe you're afraid to speak because you feel you're too old, too old-fashioned, too out of step with the world's ways of thinking today. Maybe you are afraid to speak because you are the wrong gender, or perhaps you are afraid to speak because you're the wrong color, or maybe you are just afraid that you don't have anything to say, that the world wants to hear anything to say that the world will listen to. That's the way the early followers of the Lord felt. But then the power from heaven falls upon them, and they are immediately empowered to speak. They are empowered to prophesy. That's the word that Peter uses in our text this morning, to prophesy. When we think of prophesying, of course, we often think of peering into the future with the view of predicting events. But in the Bible, prophesying simply means speaking the truth, speaking God's truth. And isn't that what we need in this post-truth world of ours, where if you repeat a lie often enough, you can find enough people to believe it? But we, as God's people, are called to speak God's truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. That's what the power of heaven empowers us to do. It empowers us to speak God's truth in a world that often doesn't want to hear it. But that's what happens at Pentecost. The Spirit of God falls on the whole community, we are told. It doesn't just fall on preachers. It doesn't just fall on the elders and the deacons. It doesn't just fall on people who are articulate and eloquent. It doesn't just fall on those who are educated. It doesn't just fall on those who are well connected. But we are told that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of heaven, falls on the whole community, and it empowers everyone to be able to speak. Have you ever seen it when people find their voices, when they're able to find their voice? People who perhaps feel they have no voice, people who've often neglected, people who are often not listened to. Have you ever observed people when they find their voices? One of our members as an organization, the Philadelphia Unemployment Project, that advocates for people who are unemployed, people who ordinarily are not people who are used to speaking, people who ordinarily people don't necessarily listen to, ordinary people, ordinary workers, grocery store workers, day laborers, construction workers, people that are not used to speaking. But every once in a while, the Unemployment Project gathers them and advocates for them, and they speak. These ordinary people find their voice to speak. Sometimes they speak in the streets, just like the people did at Pentecost. Sometimes they speak in the quarters of power and in state buildings and city councils, just like happened after Pentecost. But they are able to speak. They are able to find their voices. And that's what happened to the early church on that first Pentecost. They come out of the upper room and they find their voice. They are empowered to speak, and they speak. They speak God's truth. They speak about God's reign, about the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. They speak. They prophesy. I was listening to the radio this week, and they were interviewing a lady by the name of Christina Brown. She's a member of the Southern Baptist denomination, which is the largest Protestant denomination in the country. It's not the largest denomination. Catholicism is the largest denomination, but it is the largest Protestant denomination in the country. Ordinarily, I don't like talking about problems in other denominations. God knows that we Presbyterians have enough problems of our own. But if you've been following the news recently, you know that the Southern Baptist is embroiled in quite a controversy. They have a lot of problems right now, particularly concerning sexual abuse. The Southern Baptist Convention, of course, is heavily male-dominated. There are no women in many of the positions of leadership. Women cannot be ordained to preach, cannot be ordained to pastor a church, are not able to obtain to the reaches of denominational power, and perhaps therein lies the problem, because for many years they have had a problem with sexual abuse, of clergy abuse, of men acting badly towards those in their congregations, those who are vulnerable and in positions of vulnerability. And Christa Brown was one of those women. She recounts how at the age of 16 she was abused by her youth pastor over a number of years. But one day she found her voice to speak about it. And of course their denomination blew her off, ignored her, refused to listen to her, but she continued to speak about it. Sometimes from the floor of the convention itself, she spoke the truth about what was going on inside of that denomination. Finally, an investigation was done, and it showed a pattern of abuse and cover-up. But Christina Brown was one of the persons who found their voice. And as I listened to the interview, there was one young woman who was giving her praise, saying, "I don't know where she found the courage to be able to speak. But I know where she found the courage. She found it from the Spirit, from the Holy Spirit, from the Spirit that comes from on high. Holy Spirit that God has poured out upon God's people, the Holy Spirit that disrupts and shakes things up, the Holy Spirit that speaks words of truth. Sometimes even within the structures of the church itself. Whenever you and I are empowered by the Spirit, whenever you and I are prophesying, whenever you and I are making God's truth known to the world, whenever you and I are empowered by the Spirit of heaven, the Spirit from on high, people will often say what they said about those early disciples on that first Pentecost morning. They will say sometimes what they said about Christina Brown. They will say that those people are drunk. They are out of their mind. They don't know what they're talking about. But you and I know the real answer. We know that we are people of the Spirit. We are people who have God's Spirit poured down all over us. We are people who are called to go out into the world with the power of on high all over us, to shake up the world, to turn the world upside down. And that is what the early followers of Jesus did. They went out into the world and they turned it upside down. They went out into the world and they shook things up. They went out into the world and they brought to bear the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. in the midst of the world. The Holy Spirit empowers us to speak, to prophesy. It empowers us to speak God's truth, to speak a word of God's love, a word of God's mercy, a word of God's forgiveness in a world that desperately needs to hear it. And it's the same Spirit that you and I have all over us this morning here in this place. We have God's Spirit blowing in our hearts. We have God's Spirit poured out upon us. We have God's Spirit that empowers us to speak, to prophesy, to speak God's truth. We have God's Spirit that promises to shake us up, to shake up the world. We have that Spirit in the midst of us and on us and in us. The preacher Tom Long tells a wonderful little story about Pentecost. He was recalling that at his first church, he was put together a class on what it means to be a Presbyterian. And he thought that as he prepared for the class on that first Sunday, he thought that he was going to find that the class was full. But to his disappointment, when he got to the class, he found only 3 elementary school age children there to take his class. And so he said he didn't quite know how to proceed, but Pentecost was coming up, and so he told the 3 little girls the story of Pentecost. And he just talked about the church. Pentecost, he says, is when the church came together in a circle and tongues of fire visited the heads of each person, and winds, there were gusting winds and people speaking in languages all over the world. And he said 2 of the little girls just kind of took it in stride, didn't get excited about it at all. But he said there was one little girl that, as he told the story, her eyes were as large as saucers, and she sat looking at him with rapt attention. And when he finished reading the story, she said, "Reverend Long, we must have been absent on that Sunday." And he said the important thing was not that this little girl believed the story. The important thing was that she believed that it could happen to their little church, that the Holy Spirit could fall upon their little church, that the Holy Spirit could empower their little church to speak a word of truth, to speak God's words of truth. And that is what we are called to do here this morning. We might look around us and be a bit intimidated by the world. We might be intimidated by the fact that our numbers are small. We might be intimidated because we feel that we are not very accomplished in being able to prophesy or to speak, that we're not very accomplished at knowing how to engage others with the stunning good news of the gospel. But it's not just about us. It's not simply up to us. You and I have the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit from on high. We have the Spirit of heaven. We have that Spirit all over us. The same Spirit that fell on the Christian community at Pentecost. That same Spirit is with all of us. And it empowers us not only to proclaim God's truth, but to live God's truth, to be witnesses of God's truth for the healing of the whole world. So in this day, this Sunday, this birthday of the church, let us remember the power that we have, the power from on high, the power of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of heaven, and that you and I are called to be the agents of the Lord's rule in the midst of this world. Let us pray. Glorious Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for your great love for the world. We thank you for reminding us that you hold this community in your hand, that you hold each and every one of our lives in your hands, and that you have called us to be your people in the midst of the world. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your life, for your willingness and obedience to subject yourselves to the hatred, our hatred, the hatred of the world. And we thank you for the rule that you exercise even now over all of creation. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you for blowing in our hearts. We thank you for blowing in our midst. We thank you for empowering us to be the agents of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world, for empowering us to be the people who speak God's truth in the midst of this world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.